When Mary Baker Eddy was alive in the 19th century, she was controversial, she was deeply admired by some, and her name was known to many. The founder of Christian Science is not nearly so well known today, and the movement that she founded is now opening its Mary Baker Eddy archive to the public and to researchers. The Mary Baker Eddy Library for the Betterment of Humanity in Boston will be open this weekend. Laurie Maffley Kipp, who is Associate Professor of Religious Studies at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, has used the archive in her research. And Professor Maffley Kipp, first, is this a significant change in the Church's handling of Mary Baker Eddy's papers?
It's very significant. Up until the opening of this library, very few people outside of the Church have been allowed access to most of these documents. So for most people, it will be an eye-opening experience.
Well, what might scholars be looking for in the archives that they haven't seen before?
I think mostly the papers and personal letters, poetry and scrapbooks left by Mary Baker Eddy herself. She wrote prolifically, and most of what she wrote is in the archives and has not been published.
One idea that I gather people might be able to see her develop more if they have access to her papers is her concept of God.
Mm-hmm.
How is that, was that interesting then or now?
Well, she had a quite unique concept of God. She believed that God was both male and female, or that God had male and female aspects. And she wrote about that quite a bit. And it's quite fascinating to see the way she was developing that idea and thinking about God in new ways.
She also had some connections with a movement called the New Thought Movement of the 19th century. What was that about?
The New Thought Movement is sort of the label for the general movement in the late 19th century of people to begin to understand that the human mind had a lot of control over the facts of one's existence and the world around oneself, so that, if, in other words, right thought led to salvation.
Is there some risk of embarrassment here for the Church by opening up to what could be minute scholarly scrutiny all the papers of Mary Baker Eddy?
I don't know if it's risk of embarrassment, and the Church has certainly endured its share of embarrassment in the past. I mean, ever since Mary Baker Eddy first started writing, there have been lots of detractors that have written about her, and the Church actually has collected not only her own writings, but also the writing of people that wrote against her. And what's most interesting to me about the opening of this archive is that they've also opened up the works of people like Mark Twain. Mark Twain wrote a scathing book attacking Mary Baker Eddy in 1907, and the Church is opening that up to the public as well, and it's saying, you know, here we are, good, bad, and ugly. And it is quite a remarkable step, I think.
Something that I've always wondered about, when Mary Baker Eddy was born in the first half of the 19th century, no doctor, to my knowledge, had ever killed a germ or done anything that was scientifically proven.
Right.
By the time she died, there was a revolution in medicine that had begun, although people were still selling snake oil, figuratively, and I think literally.
Right.
Did she write a lot about that? Was she cognizant of a change in scientific medicine during her lifetime?
She was very cognizant of that, and in fact, she was concerned that all of the energy was going towards the study of materiality, of matter, when, in fact, what she believed cured people and restored them to health was right thinking. Not that she felt it didn't work in specific instances, and she, in fact, was known to have resorted to more scientific forms of medicine at various points, but because she felt that the two kinds of healing were mutually incompatible.
Now, to take us back to the present day, how does this remarkable change and this new openness on the part of the Church in the Mary Baker Eddy archive, how does it fit in the Church's situation today, and why is it doing it?
The Church has never published membership statistics, but those outside the Church have always believed that the numbers of members of the Church has dropped fairly dramatically in the late 20th century. And what's interesting to me about this move is that it does seem to be a way to bring the principles of the Church and the philosophy of the Church to a contemporary audience. If you look at the website, for example, they have things like online contests and giveaways and competition. And it's clear that they're trying to present sort of a philosophy of spiritual seeking that can reach out to a new century.
Well, Professor Maffley Kipp, thank you very much for talking with us today.
You're welcome.
Laurie Maffley Kipp, who is Associate Professor of Religious Studies at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill.